Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, starting from verse 1.
So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter.
In this world, his time as well as today, people are oppressed. The people who are rich and people who has money, they have servants, they torture the people because of their goal or their future. And they don't care about poor people. They don't care about the people who are suffering. And he says, these people have power to torture them, and nobody can say anything. And he said, they don't have any comforter. And so, this is the miserable life those people lived. In those days, we learn in early chapters, no judgment, no righteousness. People can do anything they want to do. And people do not have peace and joy and the blessing like we have today. By the grace of God, when Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil, the evil was there, and the God sent his son at due time. When Jesus Christ came, he lived on this earth 33 and a half years, did science and wonders and miracles, and he helped his disciples to learn the truth. While he was going, his disciples were depressed. He said, your heart should not be troubled. I'm going to go to my father's. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'll come back and take you with me, so you will be with me always. So he gave the hope. Not only that, he said, I'm not going to leave you helpless or fatherless. I will send the comforter. And when he was on earth, he saw the people suffering. And what did he say? Oh, heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And many people found rest in Jesus Christ. When you are suffering, your boss is torturing you, your wife or husband is torturing you, your children are torturing you, and your community torturing you, you don't have peace anywhere, come to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He is the great comforter. And he said to his disciple, I'm not going to keep you fatherless or orphan. I'm going to send you a comforter. John chapter 14 verse 26. And that comforter will come to help you. In a time of need, when you are sorry, when you are crying, when you are depressed, he will help you how to pray. He will help you to believe in Jesus Christ. He will help you to repent of your sins. He will help you and guide you to God and Jesus Christ. He will tell more about Jesus Christ. So the helper has already come. But sorry to say that Solomon, he was a king, mighty king, and he was not able to help everyone who was suffering. His money could not do it. His power could not do it. He could see the suffering of the people and think, these people do not have any help, do not have any comforter, do not have any helper. Other people overpowering and suppressing him. But thank God, today is also happening everywhere. But if you are born again, child of God, you are not looking at suffering. Our God has given us the peace, inside peace. So we don't get trouble when you see outside trouble. We are living in this troubled world. Everywhere disaster, everywhere is problem. But we are the children of God. We have a comforter. We have Jesus. You have Jesus, you have everything, nothing lacking. But in the Solomon's time, he says, I see people are suffering, no comforter. And people who are overpowering, no comforter. But we can boldly say, we have a comforter, Jesus Christ. We have a comforter, Holy Spirit. We are not alone. Okay, verse 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 2.
Wherefore I praised the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun.
Now, here he's saying, the people are dead, they are better than the people are alive. Is it true? No. People are alive, they have problems. Is it true that when you die, there is no problem? That's what people thinking. Verse 2, please read that verse one more time.
Wherefore I praised the dead which are already dead, more than the living which are yet alive.
He said, I praise for those people who are dead. The people are thinking today. If you have a problem, what you do? Kill yourself. Jump in the lake. Or take some handful of pills and die. And you will have peace. The boys and girls having a love affair and mother and father, they are bothering them and they don't want those people to get married. They say, let's go and jump in the lake and we will have peace together. That's what people are thinking. After death is nothing. But the word of God is saying, if you are really living in sin in this world and you think the people are trying to harass you, trying to kill you, trying to give you hard time, just better to die and have peace. There is no peace. If you read in Luke chapter 16, there is a story about the rich man. He had everything. Servants and food and dancing and girls and everything. But there was a beggar lying in front of his door and sick man. He didn't care about him. He could have said, hey, take this sick man. He is in front of my house. Take him to the hospital and I'll pay for it. I don't want him to suffering in front of my door. But he didn't care. The dog came and licked his wounds and he was comforted. But the rich man did not give him anything. Why the Lazarus was sitting there? The word of God says he was craving that rich man's crumbs can be given to him and he will be eat from his trash. And that's the kind of life he lived. Somebody said, why God did not heal that man? Maybe this was a trial for the rich man. So his mouth can be shut one day. The Bible says the Lazarus died first. And the angel came and lifted him up and carried him to the Abraham's bosom. And then the rich man died. And the Bible says rich man died and went to hell. And then he starts saying, Father Abraham, could you send Lazarus so he can dip his pinky in the water and put it on my tongue? He had no courage to say, could you give me a glass of water? Drop of the water he was craving for. You have to read that story, Luke chapter 16. But the point I'm making here, this rich man had everything on this earth and he was having luxury and he died. Does he have a luxury now? Does he have peace now? Does he have good food and water now? No. What's happening? Suffering. Now, this is not a final suffering. This is just the prison for a short period of time. The judgment is coming. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, God has appointed a day. Once to die, after that the judgment. Now, this is not a fun. Oh, I am having problem. Let's die, then have peace. The rich man's example didn't have a peace. Didn't have any comfort. Crying and weeping. The same time, this is not the end of it. The word of God says after the millennium, there will be great white throne judgment. And then this rich man will be taken out from the prison. Now he's just craving for water. Then he'll put it in the lake of fire for eternity. And there will be no way out. So we have to tell people, don't kill yourself. Don't think that this the living people having problems, so if I die, there won't be any problem. Solomon didn't know that. Solomon didn't know because he said in an earlier chapter, who knows? The man's souls goes up and the animal's souls goes down. He didn't know anything about hell. He didn't know about lake of fire and eternity in fire. He didn't know. That's what he's thinking. dead people are better than people who are alive. That's not true. Verse 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 3.
Yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun.
Now again he is saying, it is better that the people who are not yet born, or they should not be born. That's what he's thinking. Now just think, they don't want children. They get married, and pills after pills after pills they take, and then we rush to 35, they cannot have children. And so now this is the way, and they do not want children, period. This is the thought Solomon got. Why I need children? Bringing children in this world is trouble. That's what people thinking. And whose idea is this? This is the devil's idea. Why? Devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Now just think. Everybody in the world start thinking, we do not want to get married. Or we don't want any children. Let's have pills or whatever. And we don't want to bring anybody in this world. How long this world is going to last? 30, 40, 50. 50 the maximum I'm giving to you. 50 years later, without killing anybody to anybody, everybody will be dead. And nowhere person will be found. And that's why some people are thinking, hey, let's kill the old people. Let's kill the babies. Let's kill everybody who cannot work. Let's kill everybody. And they think then will be problem will be solved. What the Solomon is saying, oh, dead people are better. Other people never born is better. Is that the God's idea? Go to Genesis chapter 1 and read verse 28. You know already, you guessed it what I'm saying. But let's read it.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
This is God's idea. God says, you multiply. And that's what God's idea was. Even though he destroyed the world because of their sin, then you read Genesis chapter 8. Starting from verse 17. See what he says. He didn't say, okay, now the world is finished. Now this end of the world.
Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and to multiply upon the earth.
Fruitful and multiply. That's God's idea. That's God wants to do that. Okay, keep on reading.
And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done.
What God is saying? I destroy the whole world? Well, let me tell you. When the mankind did the sacrifice and the aroma came, and I'm pleased. So I decided I'm not going to curse the ground anymore. Because the children who are born, and when they come to their youth, they always have something evil. The little baby looks very innocent in the crib or the playpen. But when that baby becomes 18 or 20 or 21, that baby is not baby anymore. That baby has the foolish idea and evil thoughts and all kinds of evil things coming to their mind. And they will be trouble to mother, trouble to father, trouble to world, trouble to everybody. God says, I know that. This is what happens in the world. That's why God sent his son. When you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this changes. The sinful idea will be gone. And you will live like a God's son and God's children. That's the God's idea. That's why God says, I want you to multiply. I want you to be fruitful. But the devil says, no, 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 no. Too many people, too many troubles. So the point I'm making, people are afraid, more people will have. How are you going to build the houses? How am I going to feed the people? How poverty will be there? What Jesus says, the poor will be with you all the time. You can do everything best to make poor rich. Take the rich man's money and give it to poor. Poor will be always poor. Bible doesn't say take it from the rich and give it to poor. But the point I'm making, what the Bible says, take it from the person who has one talent and give it to the person who has 10 talent. Some people say, oh, the Jesus giving a wrong example. He had a chance to do the business. He's not doing it. He's wrapping it in the handkerchief and putting in the ground and doesn't get any profit. So the people are lazy. People do not want to work. They want somebody's money. They want somebody's wealth. And that's what they are thinking. Children also. Oh, my mother is rich. My father is rich. They should provide me. Why should I work? You gave me birth. Now it is your responsibility. You remember that lady? She's going to college and she sued the mother and father. That's your responsibility. You have to pay for my college. And I don't have to listen to you. I can do anything I want to do. But you bought me in this world. You pay for it. What happened? She lost. You cannot force like that. So this is what happened. Solomon says the person should not be born. It's not good. Because they will be having problem. God knows everything. People are worried about everybody. How the spotted owl will live. How the bald eagle will live. How this fish will be live. Having this whale, if you kill them, they might be living. And all the tigers and lions we have to protect. It's not our job. God can protect everything. God can multiply everything. You worried about so many things. What Jesus said to Martha? Martha, Martha, you worried about so many things. What you need? You need God. God is the source of our supply. You can do everything and still, if somebody has to die, they will die. You saw the day, blackbird, thousands of them start dying everywhere. People say, what happened? Now, nobody multiply them. They're multiplying. If they come, they go. So the word of God is saying, God is in charge. He wants to multiply. You don't destroy anything. Let God do it. Even the word of God says, there was a field and somebody sowed the weed. And they came and said, oh, somebody sowed the weed. We have to pull it out. He said, no. Let it grow together. The time will come. Harvest time, then take the wheat, store it, and take the weed, burn it. We don't have to worry about enemies and problems and things like that. You don't have to worry about it. You just pray, Lord, change their heart. Let them come to Jesus Christ, and God will take care of everything. So we do not worry about living in this world. We live for God. God will protect you. Okay, let's go for Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 4.
Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit.
Now he's saying, there is a man working hard, doing right thing, making a lot of money, and his neighbor comes and steals everything or destroys everything. Then he said, this is a vanity. Why this man has to work? Why has to make a lot of money? Because neighbor will come and steal it. The worldly people, they do not want the children of God to prosper. Is that a God's will? Because your neighbor will steal your money, so you should not go to work? What the Bible says? If you don't work, you should not be eating. Here the Solomon saying, why you have to have so much money? Because you have so much money, your neighbor will come and steal it. I have an answer for this. Malachi chapter 3, if you read it from verse 8. He says, you are robbing me. You're taking my money. He said, oh, how can we rob God? He said, oh, you're robbing me with what? Tithes and offering. But if he says, if you give your tithes and offerings, what I'm going to do? I'm going to open the heavenly windows. Do you know heaven has the door and the windows? John the Revelator said, I saw the door open to heaven. Even though I'm opening windows for you, but when I start pouring, you will not have room to store it. Is that a wrong Bible scripture? It's true. I already said last week, I'm going to say it again. John Wanamaker gave 90% tithe. Still he had a lot of money. J.C. Penney gave 90% to God. Still he had a lot of money. Hershey made a lot of money, gave 90% to God. He was afraid, hey, somebody will steal my money, so I don't want to work, I don't want to make money. No. Malachi chapter 3 verse 11. He says, when you give, I'll give you lots of money, you don't have room to store it. But the 11th verse he said, I will fight your devourer. Means, if you have money, I will not allow enemy to come and steal, just like he says, neighbor will come and take you. What is use of making money? God will protect. Please read.
And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, and neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts.
This is God says, he says. When God says, you listen to God. If God says, you give it to me money, I will store it in my storehouse. I will give you more than you have no room, so you will give it away. Give it to the people who are serving the Lord. Give it to the people who are born again, children of God, suffering. Don't give it to the beggar who is a drug addict. That's not God's will. He says, help the household of faith. People do not know these things. They say charity means give it to the poor or beggar. I will not give the beggar anything. I said, some beggar comes and said, asking food. I said, I'll give him food, not money. Other day, one man came. We were working on the yard. He comes, young man, maybe 22 years old. He says, sir, I'm so hungry. I need some food. I said, okay, I'll take you somewhere to give you food. I took him everywhere. This was early time. The pizza doesn't open early. The Chinese store was not open early. Nothing I can find. So I took him to the Rite Aid. The Rite Aid people, they don't have food, but they have some other food. So he has milk and this and that. I bought lots of things, and now I'm ready to pay. And I told him, you know what? You don't have money, you don't have anything, but if you have Jesus, he will give you everything. Come to church next Sunday. He said, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't want any church. I let him have it. I gave the money and walked away. What I'm trying to say, there are people, they do not want to work, and they take your money, and still they don't want God. Those kind of people will be always better. Jesus Christ, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. The one man says, who is my neighbor? He said, okay, I'll show you. And he gave a parable. He told him story. There was a man, businessman, walking on the street, and robber came and robbed him and took all the money and took everything. And he was wounded and dying and half dead and bleeding. The one Levites come, means pastor comes and walks away. And he said, oh, he's still bleeding and I don't want any aids and this and that. I'm going to touch him. And he walked away. The Pharisees comes and he said, oh, according to the law, we should not be touching this kind of blood and this and that. So he walked away. Another person comes. He's an outcast. Maybe he's not a Jewish. He's not a very rich, but he's a businessman. But he comes, clean his wounds, put him in his horse or donkey, take him to the inn or hotel, told the people, I'll be back. Take care of him, give him food and take care of him. And whatever the money you spend, I'll give you. And Jesus asked him, out of these three, who is his neighbor? And that the man says, the man who took care of him. That's what it is. If you are a good neighbor, do you think somebody is going to come and steal your money? No. I have good neighbors. Why? If you are good to somebody, they will be good to you. You don't have to worry that they are going to steal your money. And sometimes some crooked people will do that, but only those people will do. Those people are not born again. That's why Bible says, do not unequally yoke. Do not make friends with the people who are not saved. You want to do business? And if your business partner is not a Christian, not born again, don't do business with him. I don't care who is a millionaire or a billionaire, because you have to have a partner who is born again, who is Christian, and who is living for God. Then you don't have to worry about anybody stealing from you or anybody destroying your company. That's what God is saying. So the Solomon is saying, if you have something, your neighbor will come and take it away. Don't worry about it. Okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 5.
The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit.
Now, verse 5, first we go there. Here is saying, the fool folds his hand and what? Eat his flesh. How can he eat flesh with a folding hand? But what he's trying to say, some people sucking their thumb, doing nothing. I saw some children, 12 years, 13 years, 14 years, sucking the thumb. Put your thumb in your mouth and start sucking. Can you work with this hand? No. If you start sucking the thumb, you cannot work. I said, why these children having this habit? The mother, when the child cries, put his own thumb in his mouth. They don't have money to buy pacifier. And so the children start sucking the thumbs even though they are 18 years old. Those children cannot do hard work. They are thumb suckers. So here he's saying there is a man folding his hand. He's a fool. He doesn't have anything. He cannot make anything. And he is eating his own flesh. Means he's going to die. The word of God says there is another fool. If you read in Psalm 14 or Psalm 53, that fool says there is no God. So the fools, even the sucking thumbs, you won't go to hell. But if you say there is no God and start fighting against God, you will go to hell. You don't have any sympathy on those kind of fools. Okay, let's read the verse 6.
Better is an handful of quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit.
Again he says, it's better with the one handful, with the quietness. One handful food or money is better. If I have two handful, means too much money, and I have too much problem, I don't want that. That's why some people are saying, you know what? Be poor is better than a rich. And this is the devil's trick. Devil doesn't want Christian people to be rich. Word of God is saying, don't worry that you should make a handful of thing and don't make too much because it's a trouble. I already said, God said, I'll open the heavenly windows, pour down the blessing. I will fight for your enemy. You don't have to worry. Don't live like a beggar. What God says? Jesus Christ came from heaven and he became poor for us with his poverty. You can be rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. Please read.
For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich.
With his poverty, you can be rich. He gave us everything what he had. He gave us health. He gave us prosperity. He gave us salvation. He gave us a deliverance. He gave us eternal life. He gave us everything. There is nothing lacking as a child of God. Don't think that I want to live like a poor and raggedy clothes and torn clothes. That's not God's will. Go to the 1 Timothy chapter 6. Start reading from verse 9 and 10.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition.
See, here is saying, if you want to be rich, your goal is to be a billionaire before you be 40 years old. That's a good goal. But if you keep on working for making money, you will have more problems. You will have more enemies. You have all kinds of problems. More the money, more the trouble. And see what happened, verse 10.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
See what he's trying to say? The people going after the money, the love of money is what? Root of all evil. And he says many turn away from the truth. They might be pastors, they might be believers, making a lot of money, they don't have time to go to church. How much money you can make not going to church? You don't go to church because family to support, I have bills to pay, I have mortgage to pay, and so I work. I work so many hours. The Bible says even though you're a millionaire someday, you will kill yourself. Or somebody will kill you. The love of money is root of all evils. What we read in the Malachi, he says, if you give tithes and offerings, I will open the heavenly window, I will pour down the blessings, and I will fight your enemy. See how the difference? God wants you to be a millionaire, but at the same time, work for God. Have a goal that I'm going to do what God says. Matthew chapter 6, start reading from verse 25 to 33. He says, why you worry about food? Why you worry about clothes? Why you worry about everything? I give the flowers better clothes than the Solomon. Why you worry? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all other things. What other things? Whatever the world is seeking, I'll give it to you. That's the promise. God will supply your needs. No enemy will come and steal your things. And you don't have to worry making more money. He says, oh, little bit money is enough. Too much money, too much work, I don't want. That's not good. If you work hard, you will make money. And God will bless you. Okay, let's go back. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 7. Now, you have to read this, 7 to 12.
Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
He has seen some kind of disaster on this earth. He says, I see some people are lonely. If you are lonely, if you don't have wife, no children, why you work? He's thinking people, only people should be making money if you have a wife or children or something. Otherwise, why should we be working? If I work and nothing, there are so many people, he said, they are millionaire, and not married, not have any children, and they work hard. He says, I have a question for them. What is going to do with this money? Where this money is going? There are people, billionaires, no children, nothing. Why are they working? When they die, the money goes to the government, or sometimes they have to give it to some charity. That's why he said, this is all vanity. If you are a Christian, it doesn't work like that, what Solomon is saying. You were never lonely. If your husband died, and then you are alone, what are you supposed to say? Jesus is my husband. Jesus is my brother. Jesus is my everything. I'm not worried. I'm not afraid. Because he is everything to me. Or you have money or everything, God will protect. But if you don't have God, if you don't live for God, and you're lonely, you don't want to share your wealth to your brother or sister or mother or wife or nobody, and I'm going to be myself. He said, that's a dangerous life. Then he's giving an example. He says, two is better than one. It's okay. Because if you are two, several examples he gave, if you're two sleeping in a cold night, and if you sleep together, you will have warmness. Or two people are there, and third person comes to attack you, together you can defeat that person. Several good things happen. And now we are living in advanced technology. You have electric blanket, you have all kinds of things. If you are alone, don't feel sorry. God is with you. If God is not with you, then alone is dangerous. But if you have God, then you feel good. He is giving an example. He says, if there is a rope and you have threefold cord, it will not break easily. That's the way the unity is. If you are united, you are strong. You are divided, you fall. Families, houses, churches, same thing. You need a unity. Unity is what? A strength. Unity is power. And that's what the Solomon is saying. Okay, let's go back to the Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13.
Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished.
Now, here is saying, it's better to be a smart child than the king who is old and foolish. So the old and foolish king nobody wants. But the child or the young man who is poor, but the child has a wisdom, even though you are poor, chances are your son can be a president someday. Don't you worry, because you train that child as a smart child, that child will shine someday. That's what he is trying to say. It is better to be wise child than the foolish king. Read the verse 14.
For out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor.
Now he is saying, if somebody is a king and his son, so he drains all the money, when his father dies, he became poor. But the person who was smart, and even though he was in prison, he comes out of the prison and he becomes the king. Do we have an example? Yes. Just think about Mandela, right? He was a smart man, a lawyer, fought for the country. They put him in a jail. He came out of the jail and became a president. So it's true, he says, if a smart people, they are going to shine. But the person who is rich, and they pour their money to their children, they will not study, they will not do anything. And when the father dies, they will become poor. Okay, verse 15.
I considered all the living which walk under the sun, with the second child that shall stand up in his stead. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him.
Now here he's giving an example. There are all kinds of people in this world. They live, and one after another person comes. For example, just think one boxer. He thinks, I'm the greatest. You remember Muhammad Ali? He said, I'm the greatest. So much power, but somebody comes after you and defeats you and he becomes champion. So he says, this is it happening in this world. One comes after another person, and the other person who are champion, they are forgotten. Nobody cares. Everybody looks for the champion. But that champion is not going to be champion all the time. In our language, there is a saying, if you are 1 pound, there is always 1 1/4 pound somewhere. Always somebody will beat you. Nobody said, I'm unbeatable. But here is saying, this is all happening, and people will not rejoice in that person. For example, I'll give another example. Just think, today we want, this is the president. And all the people voted for him and he becomes a president. After 4 years, they start finding some fault. This is not a good president. And they want to defeat him and they want another president. What happens? People will never be happy. They will never rejoice what they have. They are always finding some problem to be depressed. Nobody wants something what old things, a good thing, always looking for something new. But he says this is happening, and this keep on happening, it's not going to change. But in Jesus, it changed. If you are proud, if you believe Jesus, you are humble. Look at the Saul. He was a tall man and bad man and killing Christians. But when he got saved, what he said? I don't want to be called Saul. I want to call Paul. I want to be humble. I want to be doing good things. So he says, it doesn't work, but it works in Christ. In Jesus, everything changes. And God supplies our need. So we have a great hope in Jesus. When you have Jesus, we have hope. We are not a miserable people. Okay, read the 16.
There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit.
See what he's saying? There is no ending. People come, people go. People are not happy what happened in the past, and they will be not happy for what's going to happen future. There are people crybaby. Always they are crying. Always they have a problem. Not a single time they say, this is a good day. Everything is lousy. Everything is bad. But when we are Jesus, everything is fine. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. Thank you what you have done for us. We were dying like a fool without God and without Christ. We received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We do not have any lacking. Like David says, Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. We are not wanting in anything, because heaven is belong to us. Eternal life is belong to us. And we are the children of the Most High God. Amen and amen. Please be seated.